Amen. It sure is good to be back tonight. It's good to see everyone, and just so thankful that you're here. I really missed being here on Sunday. That was a last-minute kind of thing there, but I wanted to say, too, I know he stepped across there, but I sincerely appreciate Preacher Bill filling in for us on Sunday, and appreciate that good message. There's a whole lot in there, and a lot of testimony in there. And I tell you, that's a nice thing when you look at the Bible and there's places and parts that you've applied it and you can give testimony to it. That's a beautiful thing. The Word of God is a life-changing book and experience, and I'm very thankful for that. If you'd like to, you can turn to Genesis chapter 1. Probably more talking tonight than anything. This is probably definitely, I'd say, more like a lesson where we're continuing on in our church constitution. The Genesis chapter 1. But I'll say that song, Psalm 116, I guess that's the name of it, isn't it, Brother Nathan? The more you hear that, the more you can see, obviously, the Bible in it. I've put a lot of thought into that. Thinking about old paths and things like that. I know we referenced Jeremiah 6:16 a whole lot, but you think back, that's an Old Testament book that's being mentioned there. You know, there was not a red hymnal back in Jeremiah's day. What did they say? They sung the Bible. I mean, I'm serious. You know, the whole thing, Psalms, you see it there, but that's what that's meant for. It's a book of singing. How beautiful that song is, Brother Nathan. We need more songs like that. Amen. I had my Bible out, and of course it's not word for word or what have you, that song. I know sometimes you have to do things, I guess, to make it to fit note-wise and what have you, but it follows it very, very closely enough to get the context out of it. Amen. Just singing the Word of God is enough. Preached on Sunday night with Brother Chad. Appreciate the opportunity to be with him and his church family, and heard some good singing there and what have you, but the message that night was Signs of a Merry Heart, and talking about having a song, mentioned about having a song on our heart, and we don't have to know how to sing to have a song on our heart. Amen. You really, really think about that. When you get in there in the Word of God, and He makes something real to us, and something you can hold on to, if you can't sing a lick, you can definitely hold on to that in the Lord. You can rejoice in the Lord. Sometimes just holding the Word of God forth and just an open and clear heart. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. I think that sounds good to Him. But I want to mention this too and just let you know. So tomorrow through Saturday, I'll be out of town. My family has got a birthday coming up and what have you. And turn the big 5-0. We've always kind of joked about that. I remember, I guess it was Mom's birthday when she turned 50. And we were trying to figure out who the next 50 in the family was, and it was me. And I was like, holy cow, you know, that took me by surprise. I thought everybody's just picking. They said, it's you. And I thought, no, I'm too young to think about that. They were right. Well, it's here, Lord willing. I mean, we're knocking on the door, but the littles, I call them the littles, Josh and Sarah, we're getting up in the morning and heading to Charlotte to catch a flight, believe it or not, to New York. We're going to go to New York for just a couple of days. Yeah, yeah. Kind of like the Clampets, I guess you could say, if you know what that is, you know. And no, I didn't lose anything over there either. I thought about that. What'd you lose in New York? Not a thing. I guess it was one of those deals that we kind of joked about before, that if I ever had the opportunity to go, I just want to see it. If it's just an overnight trip, just get there, see it, that kind of thing. Sarah's been before. She wanted to go back. And Josh hadn't been able to fly yet, but family saved up, put it together, and that's kind of the surprise birthday party. It was either that or camping. I'd been happy with either one, you know. And so that's kind of how it worked out. But I just wanted you to know that and just say that I'm absolutely accessible. I might not be able to get here too quick, but I'm accessible. And so I just wanted you to know that. But appreciate that for my family and thankful for that. But tonight, just to get into the message, tonight we're talking about creation. And in our church constitution, we're up to that point. And, you know, that's where it all begins. And it's probably one of the most contested things that you'll find in the Bible. And it gets starts off that way right at the start. By the time you get to Genesis chapter 3, Satan himself is trying to cast doubt on it, on the Word of God. And just, again, just saying, yea, hath God said, and tried to twist everything the commandments that he gave out early to Adam and Eve. But I want us to really think about this. The Lord laid this on my heart, I don't know, about 2 o'clock this morning. I was like, man, that's good. It spoke to my heart. It's a little off topic, but it's absolutely in the context of what we're talking about. And just looking at what the Bible says, anybody here, if you are telling somebody something and you're being serious and you're telling them something and you want them to know it, and you're just telling them like it is, I say like it is in a nice way, you're giving them the facts. You're giving them the facts of what's happened or the facts of the situation or what have you, and you imagine how you would feel if people kind of looked at you skeptical, Brother Adam, just kind of like, I don't know if I believe that or not. I don't know if I just believe that or not, you know. I hear what you're saying, and maybe it sounds good. Maybe that would look good on paper, but I just don't know if I believe that or not. How would that make you feel? You know, I mean, that to me, when I'm telling somebody something and they're kind of looking at me like they don't believe what I'm saying, that's worrisome. Especially from up here. I'm not saying that's happening or anything like that. I want to set the stage for what I'm talking about. When you look at things today, I know there's a lot of things that's being said, especially political-wise, the wars that's going on, everything that's going on, everything is in question. You look at also the invent of AI, ChatGPT, spoke to Brother Terry about that, and that's some wild stuff there. You know, how in the world? You look at things, I don't know that I would, I haven't, I'll tell you this, I've never looked up anything biblically in ChatGPT. Now, I might have Googled something like, where's this verse at, something like that, but as far as looking at ChatGPT to build a message or something like that, I've never done that, and I don't intend to. I'll tell you this, I don't take outlines from other men either, other preachers. There's a fellow I really like to listen to preach, and found that he has some books, and a lot of the books he has were actually sermon outlines, and that's the books I'm not going to buy because I don't want to be accused of stealing somebody else's messages. I believe that God gives the messages to us that he wants us to preach to you. I believe that with everything in my heart, and so that's the way I look at it there. But you look at, again, what I'm saying with ChatGPT, you go to these places, Google, you go to the internet, and it's cataloged information in one place that you can pull up. If you want to know about something, I mean, it's amazing how defined it's gotten to be, but it's information that's been put out there by other men. It's not that it knows stuff that you and I don't know. It's been put in there by people like you and me, by other people, by men. It's put in there, but speedily and very fast, it can pull these things together. Now, when you start looking at it like that, thinking about fact-checking, but you see that happen all the time. This is one thing I've learned about news. You have a left-leaning and a right-leaning, and then what you'd have is also something kind of right in the middle, and there's actually news set up based off of that. They'll say, well, the left is saying this, the right is saying this, but this is kind of the median path. There's something for everybody. But now, when you start looking at what we're talking about here tonight, there's people who've come up with other theories that they're trying to reconcile things. Now, I want to ask you this. I mean, seriously, think about this. How do you fact check God? How would you go about doing that? Because if we see what the Word of God says and we think in our mind, I just don't know if I believe that or not. The last thing we can do is go to the internet to see what it says and get the right answer. You know that? Where's the first place we normally go thinking we can get an answer? If I would not call it fact-checking, I would call it backing up, because this is the Word of God. You want to know what God meant, He meant what He said right there. That's what He means. The problem is with you and me as people, and I'm talking about myself, there's a lot of things I absolutely don't understand. I can't put it together. It doesn't make sense. I will roll it over in my mind over and over, and things just don't make sense. And if I'm not careful, I will try to reconcile it in my mind to make it appease what I think God meant. God told us what He meant. We just hold on to what He said. We don't fact check God. But you know what He does to us? He faith checks us. Brother Patrick, how much you believe me? How much you believe me? That's what this is about. When you look at the Word of God, He gave it to us. We have it. We can study it. And the one thing He asks us to do is just believe it. The problem is when we don't understand things, we try to pretend like we're smart and figure things out for ourselves and say, well, this is what it means. Well, you better base it off of what the context is being taught. If not, you can really mess up the Bible and you can really share things that's not biblical, things that aren't right. See, there's a few theories here that I want to get into. I won't keep us long, but in talking about creation, we believe that God created the universe in 6 literal days. 24-hour periods. We reject evolution, the gap theory, the day-age theory, and the theistic evolution, and theistic evolution as unscriptural theories of origin. So when you look at some of these other theories that you might hear in school or other places, I think, really, I heard about the gap theory. That some of these I hadn't heard of until studying a little bit more. You know, evolution, of course, I think everybody's heard that. Talked about that in Sunday school. This kind of goes along with our Sunday school where we're tracking in our study there. But, you know, it's interesting. If everything is evolving, not to say that things don't change, then when did we stop? You know, if you're really going to subscribe to this thinking, okay, we started out as a monkey, and then you get to man, well, what's the next stop? From a monkey to now, that's a big jump. Well, we hadn't made any big jumps after that. And here's the thing, people really hadn't got a whole lot taller. I mean, there's some tall people in the world, but I don't think they're like Goliath. I don't think they're like the Anakins. I don't think they're like people like that. So, I mean, what happened? So, I mean, really, a lot of this isn't hard to debunk if you really just think about it and you look at it. But I think what we're trying to do is harmonize things versus taking things absolutely literal. The Word of God's literal. That doesn't mean that there's not spiritual context to it. I think sometimes, and I know in the past, especially when I first started preaching, I was guilty of trying to over-spiritualize things. You know, you want a message to be good. You see a word, you find a context, you might get a blessing out of it. Sometimes you take it a little too far. But the Bible is literal. It just means what it says. Talking about these days here, and we'll read a little bit of the Bible here in just a minute, but I want to go over these theories that it mentions because I think it's important. I think you'll see what I'm talking about here. So the gap theory, the first one that it mentions, or ruin to restoration theory is another title that's been given. It proposes that there was a vast, unrecorded, remember that, unrecorded geological age between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. Between the first two verses of the Bible. It suggests that God's origin or original creation was destroyed, often blamed on Satan's fall, leading to a formless and void state before a 6-day recreation. Now, do you want to know the problem that I have with that? You might already have in your mind and in your heart the problem that you have with it. It's not in the Bible. You know how simple it would have been for God to put that in there if that was the case? Genesis 1:1, He puts it in there. And if that was the actual case, what happened? All He had to do was put it right in there. Say, oh man, you know what a great place to put in the fall there. So that way, by the time you get to Genesis 3, before Adam and Eve, when they meet the serpent in the garden, we'd already know who the devil was. It's not in the Bible. It's not there. Therefore, it's not true. Now, the reason I want to mention this too, I think it's good for us to know these things, kind of mention it that way. But also, you know, interestingly, who kind of popularized this theory? This is what kind of surprised me. Thomas, I guess that you call it Chalmers? Chalmers? Thomas Chalmers, have you heard that name? He popularized this in the Scofield Reference Bible. It attempts to reconcile Genesis with a long-age geological theories. Now, how many of you have a Scofield Study Bible? Boy, when I was growing up, that's the one to have, yeah. When I graduated from high school, that's the one they put in your hand. It's the Word of God, but I want us to know those references are for men just like you and me. That's not the Word of God. I got humbled a little bit. I've carried the same Bible for years now, I guess, right out of school. I carried it, Brother Kenneth Forbes, I think, had one like it, and I looked and found one, and the main reason I kept it's because I like the font size. It's not too big and it's not too small. I had one in Big Schofields, and it was like carrying, I had to carry it in a backpack. Yeah, I mean, it's big. I could hold it up, you could read it like a slideshow. It is big. I used it while I was in school, and the thing about it is I highlighted all the good stuff, found out it was all good, and Brother Garrett, it was all highlighted. It was like a rainbow study Bible by the time I got done with it. And so I was like, well, everything's highlighted, and therefore it's not really. So I went to this, not because really necessarily at all because of the concordance that was in it or the study that was in it, just because I like the size and I like the font and the size of it. Here's the thing. Somebody asked me, I think it was Brother Ben Carper. He was up here, he's in church here. I sit back there with Brandon. He said, how many of you have a Ryrie study Bible? And I was like, I looked at Brandon, he's like, that's what I carry. So I want you to know, he gets it wrong right here when he says this in his study portion. And Brandy looked at me and she's like, she kind of looked back at me like, mm-hmm. So you got a Thompson chain, don't you? She has a Bible that went to the Philippines and back. I got that from Preacher Jerry. Got it for her for Christmas one year. He said, if you want this Bible, I'll give it to you in a deal, a real good deal. The box was beat all to pieces. I said, what's the story behind this Bible? He said, brother, that's been around the world and back. He said, if you want it, we'll give it to you. Thought that was kind of neat. I say all that just to say, don't get hung up in other men and what they say. Sometimes they get it right, but just like you and me, sometimes they get it wrong. You really got to go back and study the context of what the Word of God says and not get caught in things. People try to harmonize things for whatever reason. Maybe they don't understand it. Maybe they feel like they have to have an answer. I got to give somebody an answer. This sounds reasonable. This sounds logical. I want you to know the Word of God really isn't either one of those. It's faith-based. It's by faith. And when you put faith beside logic, a lot of times, you can't reconcile that. You just have to believe Him. You and I have to take God at His word. And the things that we don't understand, we just take it by faith, by His word and what He's given to us. I say all that just so you can see sometimes to understand other men writing things and the concordance and the different study guides that they have. Now you look at this one, the second one that's mentioned is the day-age theory. It interprets the 6 days. Because you see that in the Bible, hard to contest that, you know. You got those 6 days that's mentioned. Hebrew, the word is yom. In Genesis 1, as one long. Geological epochs or ages rather than 24-hour days. So we're going to say, okay, there ain't no way that all this could be accomplished, Brother Dale, in just 24 hours. There ain't no way. So you know what we'll do? I've heard it said. You know what we'll do? We'll say, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. Boom, and now we turn that 24-hour period into 1,000 years. Isn't that something? Isn't that theological? It's not what the Word of God says. See, that's a theory. That's a theory that's placed. And so they put that in there to try to reconcile things, they being other men. Again, it says this. It says in Genesis 1, as one long sequential geological epochs or ages rather than a 24-hour days, proponents aim to harmonize a biblical creation account with scientific evidence of an old earth billions of years old. I've talked about this a lot. And I've tried to understand how carbon dated work is. I think I mentioned it in Sunday school. Maybe I sound silly saying this. I'm not a scientist. I don't have a degree. I have the Word of God, and I'd rather have that. I'll take that. But the way people have explained it to me is they say they'll take a piece of substance material that's a billion years old and match other substances beside that one to show the age of it. Makes sense. How do you know that first one's a billion years old? I don't have the answer to that. Somebody probably does, Brother Patrick. I don't have the answer to that. But there had to be that first one to show it was a billion years old to date everything else beside of it. The main problem I have with that, creation is about 6,000 years old. So where did that come from? God created all of this. We can't. We can't create anything. People talk about being content creators, what have you. People can record what they've already seen. People can reuse what's already been given. We really can't create anything. That belongs to God. He's the creator. He's the one that put that together. But that's the day-age theory, trying to make those things come together. Then you have the theistic evolution, the third one that's mentioned here. This is the belief that God used evolutionary processes over billions of years to create life, viewing Genesis as an allegorical or a theological rather than scientifically literal. Proponents argue science and faith are compatible, while critics argue it undermines the biblical narrative of a literal Adam, the entrance of death through sin, and the divine creation. Amen. I go with the latter. You see, here's the thing about it again. The Bible doesn't teach it like that. See, it starts out, and we're going to read the Word of God. How does it start out? After the fall, it doesn't start out like that, does it? How does it start out? If you want to know the beginning, the Bible absolutely tells us when the beginning is. And so if we look at this here, I just want to read this, and I'll be done. It's probably short tonight, but I'll be done with this. But when you look at what the Word of God says plainly here, it says, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's our starting point. Very simple. If this was a textbook that I was being graded on, and somebody said the first question was, what was the earth and when did it start? The beginning's right there. I mean, that's easy. That's easy. It's not hard to put together. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And look what it says after that. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So you just have God himself speaking this into existence. I didn't hear mention of an explosion, anything like that. Now, if God wanted there to be one, there could have been. He could have mentioned it there. God spoke, and there was a loud commotion in the heavens. It doesn't say that. God just spoke. See, that's the power of the Creator. Have you ever spoke anything into existence? Anything. I can't. He just spoke, and these things appeared. These materials appeared. These appeared. These things came together, and the earth was without form, and it was void. It was empty. So it didn't have the form and shape that we see. And it was empty. It didn't have all the things that we take in. You look at the world now and the things that it has that man has added, not created, but has added to it. There's things there. You imagine what it looked like then. The paradise that the earth was at that time, the Garden of Eden, and what paradise it would have been there. Now, when you look at these next parts, the days of creation, and it says, and God said, let there be light. There wasn't even light. It was dark. Let there be light, and there was light. Spoke it into existence. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. Now, you and I can turn a switch on and off, but you imagine how hard it is to divide light from darkness. Either you have it or you don't. God has the power to turn it on and turn it off. He has the power to divide light from dark. No man can do that. You try to figure out the science behind that. I'm not talking about Benjamin Franklin turning the light switch on and off or something like that. Verse 5, and it says, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. You see, when you start trying to say that's 1,000 years, then why did the Lord say the evening and the morning were the first day? I got it written down in my Bible, 24 hours. I believe, I don't know if it was school or what have you, where we were at, but I remember maybe it was Brother Wynn or somebody that was teaching that portion of it, and that's exactly what I wrote down, plain period, literal. We mess up the Word of God when we try to harmonize things that aren't true just to pacify our minds. We mess things up. The evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the water. So you had a bunch of water all around this earth. The Lord allowed there to be land to come and divide it out. You wonder how things were separated the way it is. You see it on a map. And something else that's confounding to me is when you think about the flood covered it all up again. And then the waters receded and returned it back. It probably maybe different than what it was originally. But you can see there was a change at that point. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. You're starting to see the atmosphere. You're starting to see, well, we'll never, until you get there, see the third heaven, but you've got the heavens that we see literally, and then you have space. You see how this division is coming out. Isn't it amazing how much God tells us right there at the very beginning of his word? And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. That's not even hard to, that's not hard to follow, is it? Now, if you set out to do it, I'll tell you it's impossible. You and I can't do that. But I can believe in the one who did. And I can trust in how he told me he did it. He's faith checking us when we read things like that. There's no way. I would never try to fact check God. Now, you take him at his word and he'll prove his word to you. But he wants us to be faithful to him and trust what he tells us. Verse number 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. Man, you can see it almost visually coming together in our minds. And God called the dry land earth. There you go. And the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. He was liking what he was seeing when he's putting these things together. This world, not talking about the actions of man, but this world can be a beautiful place. I thank God getting to go out and take pictures and see things. But I tell you, it's amazing when you get on some of these mountaintops and you look out and you can see forever. And you can see the ridges and you can see how the mountains lay. It's almost like you could see how when the waters receded, how it carved those mountains back out. That's God. This is his creation. And it's beautiful. It's things that you and I, if we were starting with a blank slate, I don't think we could even put that together in our minds without seeing it from somebody else. A lot of what's happening is we just replicate what we've seen. God replicated nothing. He created it. He was able to speak it out of the voice of his mouth. And he goes down here, verse number 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, an herb yielding seed, and the fruit, tree yielding fruit, after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. He just spoke into existence. I want to say right there, I am thankful that our grapevine is doing good. I wanted to tell you about that. There's a lot of leaves on. We ain't got grapes yet. That might be a while, but man, it's growing. It's growing. It's green. No grapes yet, but I'll keep you posted. And the earth brought forth the grass, herb yielding seed after his kind, the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And again, the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. So now we have a time structure. Isn't that neat? You know, I thought this is kind of neat too, reading in the book of Job, but it actually mentions the constellation Orion. That's old. Job is one of the oldest books in the Bible. You want to learn a little bit more about archaeology and some of those things, maybe anthropology, read the book of Job. It talks about the mammoth. It talks about a lot of prehistoric things. It's amazing when you see it. And again, in the Word of God, but you're seeing how we now are building a time scale. You see how the earth is coming together for seasons, for days. We're talking about watches one day. It's amazing how people went from a sundial to be able to wind a watch and keep up with how the sun moves. We were at a conference years ago. It was a school board conference, and at the ocean, not the beach, at the coast. We got to say it right. My favorite thing to do: get up with Mom, sometimes Brandy, but get up with Mom and sit out and watch the sun come up. That's one of the most unique places to watch it, because it's just like it's level. It's like it's just sitting right there, right on top of the water. And you see that little crest when it's just real bright red, when it hits it just right, and it comes up. And I thought, all right, we're going to sit here and watch this thing, Brother Terry. We're going to watch this thing rise for a while. But you know, it didn't take no time at all. It was right above the water. I said, man, that thing's moving fast. It's moving very fast. If you ever try to do lunar photography, nighttime photography, you know, you got to put your camera on something that moves, because if you don't, it's gone. It'll be outside the telescope. It's because it's constantly moving. And here's the thing, Jay Fenwick, we were talking about, he said, and think about this, Jason, it moves at that pace all day long. Isn't that something? That's amazing. Think about time passing by right before our eyes. Thought that was an interesting thing. Verse number 15, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. He put everything in place. And when you look up and you see those constellations, it amazes me every single time that I see that. I always try to look on a clear night just to see what I can see. I don't have them known like the sailors do. I have to get the app out and see which one's what. But I can tell that one looks like it's something. You can kind of match it up and see what it is. And God said, and God set them in the firmament in the heaven to give light upon the earth. He plugged it into place. And that's something, when you see it, you go around a star, what's holding that in place? There's no strings. It's the hand of God holding that in place. And to rule over the day and over the night and divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Verse 19, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. We're over halfway through creation already. 4 days, 4 24-hour periods. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, the fowl that may fly above the earth, and the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, every one of them. None of them were here by mistake or happenstance. He created every one of them, and which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. Let me make sure I don't miss anything here. And the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. That's how they keep coming back. That's why they were not a one-time event. They were created to be able to recreate, procreate would be the word to say, just like you and me. That's how they were made. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, and cattle, and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. You see, everybody has a kind. You have a kind. I have a kind. And that's the kind we are. That's it. That's the way God made it. We don't shift. We're not this kind today and that kind tomorrow. He made everybody, everything, after its own kind. There's an absolute there. We don't feel one way one day and one way another day. And that's because the way the Word of God led it out to be. And look at this. There's more. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now that really throws people off. People see that, Brother Finley, like, who's we? Who's our? How many are you? I'll go ahead and tell you, it's three, ain't it? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. If you ever really want to know and make sure that Jesus was there before the foundation of the earth, he's right there. Behold, I've come in the volume of the book is what the Bible said. He's right there. Let us make man in our image. That's Jesus. That's why he is how he is. When he came down, born of a virgin, you see, that's how that was pre-planned and set in place. After our likeness, you think about how God is. I know no man has seen him at any time, but you think about how he is made up, three parts in one, mind, body, and soul. We're three parts in one. See how it comes together. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. I want to say this here quickly too. God has a order. It's not a free-for-all. This isn't, if it feels good, do it. Just kind of do what you want to do. God has an order to things. He placed man over animals. And I tell you, sometimes animals get it right more than man. I mean, it's sad. But that's how it's supposed to be. He put us over the animals. He has an order to things. God always has an order to things, and His order will never be out of order with what you see in the Word of God. Never will it be out of order with what you have and see in His Word. Look at verse 27. So God created man in His own image, and in the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Done. Well, I tell you, Brother Pactor, this would be good to be taught in school right now. Right now. I'm liking what I see more and more, Brother Allen. I like that. It's affirmative. It's literal. You don't have to add allegory to that or think that it's some kind of, you know, hypothesis or just a theory. You know why I know it's true, Brother Dale? Because I look around the room and that's exactly what I see. I look up in the sky and that's exactly what I see. Look out the ocean, that's exactly what I see. You don't have to fact check Him much. He'll prove Himself to you every day if we'll let him. I'll hurry on. And it says here, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. That's a big word. This earth, it takes subduing. You think about what it looked like before people were everywhere, conquering this earth. The first time a person saw a rattlesnake or something like that, I mean, the snake in the garden, but you think outside that. The first time they had to deal with thorns and thistles and pick britches. Some of you know where that's at. It says, God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That's placing an order. It's placing man in their place and animals in their place. And also it goes on to also herbs here. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree which is in the fruit, which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. You can eat, that's for food there. And to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. That's where our food's supposed to come from. You see that today, that's easy to prove, easy to see that too. Verse 31, I'm almost finished. And God saw everything that He made, that He had made. And behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. You imagine what that week would have been like. You imagine. I mean, just Him speaking things into existence. All this is in place and everything's coming together. Each day as He speaks it into existence, and you have this perfect place. You know what it didn't have? Well, there's one thing. I'll get to that in the next verse. But you know what it didn't have? It didn't have sin. It's perfect. You know, we've never seen that. We don't know what that kind of earth would look like. But yeah, I'll tell you this too. There wasn't no man on it yet either. I think that's probably pretty telling too. Could you imagine what this earth looked like? That period before God created man, before He put that into place, you imagine what this earth looked like. I think that's pretty amazing. And then it says right here, the heavens and the earth, verse 2, and the heavens and the earth were finished. We had made man at that point, but the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, everything put into place. And in verse number 2 here, and it says, on the seventh day, God ended His work, which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work, which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day, and He sanctified it, because in that it would... In that He rested from all of His work which God created and made. And isn't that kind of neat? You could say right there, God created Sunday. I mean, you think about it. I mean, my goodness. You think about how things are set into place. You know, I'll say there's times, especially when I was in law enforcement working on Sunday, that was the most awkward time of my life. It's like, I'm not supposed to be here. This just didn't feel right. It's not a holier-than-thou or better-than-thou attitude, but God sanctified that day. When you look at how God laid everything out, you look at all these details, He laid all these things out, and the simple thing about it is, for Him, just keep doing what I've told you to do. Now, just keep it. Just keep it. But you see how man has changed things and all that kind of stuff. I wonder if anybody has anything on your heart tonight. I know that's a lot. We created the earth, and...